We will first be in Genesis chapter 41. If you'll just hold your place in Genesis chapter 41 for a moment, I want to talk to you about grain in the time of famine. Grain in the time of famine. And grain is necessary in order to have bread. In order to have bread. It is considered the very staff of life. It speaks to us of substance. It speaks to us of the sustaining of life, of the necessary things in order to live, the very bread. And symbolically in the Word of God, we know that bread speaks to us of the Word of God. The Word of God, which is necessary for our life in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Bread is spoken of in different ways in the Word of God. And so when we speak of seed or grain, we're also speaking of bread, which comes from that. The Lord uses this imagery in the Word of God as we go through in many places. We find this. We find also images of famine and what it speaks to us concerning spirituality, concerning our spiritual lives and times when there's a famine of the Word of God. And we know that Jesus said that man will not live or cannot live or must not live by bread alone, speaking of natural bread, but by what?
Every word
that proceeds from the mouth of God. So when we speak of bread natural, we speak of that which sustains the natural life. And when we speak of bread spiritually, we're speaking of the very Word of God that sustains our spiritual life. We cannot live the Christian life without bread. We cannot live the Christian life without bread. You may exist for a season, but you cannot live the abundant Christian life without bread. If you're here today and there has been no spiritual bread in your life for some time, then you may not even be able to see it in the mirror. You may be eating well at McDonald's every day, but what you have spiritually is a starvation that is taking place that affects your spirit man, affects your life in Christ. There is a spiritual life that comes through the Word of God supplying that life to us. And not only do we speak of these images in the Word of God, but then when we speak spiritually, the Bible speaks of a famine of hearing the Word of God, a famine of hearing the Word of God. We will come to that in a moment, but there is the natural famine, which speaks of lack, which affects the spiritual, the natural body, even causing death. And there is a spiritual famine, which speaks of spiritual lack of the Word of God, which causes an emaciation of our spiritual life in Christ. Famine of hearing the Word of God. Notice that it's a famine of hearing the Word of God, not just receiving the Word of God. We will come back to this, but there can be an abundance of the Word of God available, and yet there can still be a famine of hearing the Word of God. In fact, God can so judge a nation that even though there are multitudes of prophets and multitudes of people with Bibles, the Word of God is available, and yet he can shut up the ears so that no one hears the Word of God. You say, why would God do such a thing? It's a natural cause and effect because God is sovereign and he puts laws into effect. And if we resist and refuse his Word long enough, we will not be able to hear his Word on a spiritual level. We will not be able to receive his Word. Genesis chapter 41, we're going to read two brief passages in this chapter. One begins in 47, verse 47, chapter 1, verses 47 through 49. The backstory, which you are all familiar with, I'm sure, is where Joseph has interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and the dreams speak of a famine of 7 years that follows a time of abundance, which occurs in the land of Egypt. 7 years of abundance, followed by 7 years of famine. And we see that Joseph interprets his dreams that speak of the coming of these two periods of time. And he explains to Pharaoh, as God gives him supernatural wisdom, he tells Pharaoh what to do in order to prepare How many of you know that when the time of trouble is coming, there is cause for preparation? A lot of people do not want to hear the message of preparation. But we are not to be ill-advised, and we are not to be unprepared, and we are not to stick our heads in the sand. God calls us when there is a time coming of trouble and tribulation. He calls us to be prepared. And we'll see today how we are to be prepared. And so he gives Pharaoh the interpretation of the dreams. And in verse 47, "Now in the 7 plentiful years the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food," he being Joseph. "So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain." Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea, until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. Look down at verse 53 as we continue. "Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, 'Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do.' The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all lands." What a typology, what a type and shadow this is, the time on which we are standing on the very brink of this era. We know that there's a time coming where in the past, all of history, there have been times of famine, there have been times of lack, there have been times of tribulation, but they were all regional. Yes. They were all affecting one nation at a time, or just a few nations at a time. But there's coming a famine that is going to affect the entire world, and I'm not speaking so much of a famine of food. There's a time of abundance. There has been a time of abundance of the Word of God. But there's coming soon a time of lack. There's coming soon a time, and God gives us this picture that all of the world is in lack. All of the world here is in need, is starving, and is in need of food. But God has one man. One man. God always has a remnant.
Amen.
He always has a remnant.
Amen.
He's never left without a witness in the earth.
Amen.
Never left without a testimony in the
Amen.
Earth. It's amazing that after all of these years of human history, all of the dictators that have lived, all of the times of trouble that have come upon God's people, and all of the times, not only in the history of Egypt, but the history of Christianity since, the times of Israel, but also all of the times of Christian history since the time of Christ, if we remember how Israel would turn from the Lord in idolatry, and it would seem that all of the land had become idol worshippers, but God always had a remnant.
Amen.
He always
Yes.
raised up someone
Yes.
to call the people back to the Word of God,
Yes.
to call them back and give them truth, even when they did not want to receive it. Here's a picture of a man who has wisdom from God. Wisdom from God. In the natural, there's a famine coming over all of the world. And so he prophesies the 7 years of plenty. There's going to be a time of abundance. And then there's going to be a time of famine. And God has Joseph in place as a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. For he becomes a savior for all of the known world of that day. A savior in the natural sense of providing food when all of the world is in famine. God always has someone with bread.
Amen.
He always has someone with grain. Think of the granaries of Egypt. All of the granaries that were stored with grain. And Pharaoh has put all of this under Joseph's authority. And when the time of famine comes, Joseph is the one who issues forth the grain as it is needed. A man with wisdom to store up grain for a time of tribulation. Sad truth in our lives is that when there is abundance, we tend to be wasteful. When we have all that we need, we tend to throw away more than we should ever throw away. When we have all that we need, we don't appreciate what we have many times. When we have an abundance of things in this earth, many times we live as though it will always be there, and we do not plan for the future. We do not think of times when it might perhaps be taken from us. And I'm speaking there of natural things. If we have lots of food and lots of excess of different things to enjoy in this life, so often we do not take it, we take it for granted. We do not consider it as precious and as temporary as it may be. And so when there's plenty, we tend to be wasteful. There's a principle that I like to speak of concerning the Word of God, and that is, and you've heard me mention it before, that you are a reservoir. Now, I know that we must have the fresh Word of God. We need a fresh Word from God. We're always asking God for fresh direction, for fresh guidance. But when you become a Christian, you become a believer, you begin studying the Word of God. And you begin filling that reservoir within you with the Word of God. It is a basis. It is a foundation in your life, out of which God can at any time bring up the word that is stored within you in order to speak something fresh to you in that moment. Is that right? You don't always have your Bible with you. You don't always have something available in the moment. But if you have stored the word of God in your heart, then God is able to bring forth, bring up that word and speak to you by remembrance of the word of God that you have stored within you. You're like a reservoir. And the more you store within that reservoir, the more abundance there is for a time of need and a time of lack. Just imagine if all of your Bibles were confiscated this morning. Where would you be as far as the reservoir that God has put within your life? Would you say that you're adequately filled, that you have much of the storage of the Word of God, that you have a granary full of the Word of God in your life? So much so that God can always pull up that word to speak to you, a word of direction or comfort or wisdom or whatever may be needed in the moment. But also to bring forth the word that's needed for other people who come across your path. In the early church, we look at how this worked out because the early church was about to be plunged into a time of great, great persecution. And it's not, we hear all of the great stories of the early martyrs of the church. And sometimes we think that they all died faithfully unto the Lord, but it's not true. There were many who denied the Lord. There were many who caved in under the pressure of Rome's persecution and the torture that was brought against Christians. Those Christians who were the most sold out for the Lord and had the most of the Word of God within them to be strengthened in the time of need and the most presence of the Holy Spirit within their lives. Those who had most counted the cost and determined that they were going to follow after the Lord and depend upon His grace in such a time of horrific need. They are the ones who stood in the time of persecution and even in the times of facing death. But what had they been doing from the time of Pentecost, from the time that the early church began moving forward? They had been meeting daily, the Bible says, from house to house, storing up the Word of God in their hearts. It says that they studied daily from house to house, receiving the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine was all of the foundation that the apostles taught the early church, filling those people with the Word of God. It's a reservoir. It's a reservoir in your life and in mine. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. We want to see this same thing played out in the New Testament. Verse 27, and in those days the prophets came or prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So in the early church, Agabus stood up and prophesied and declared that there was a famine coming upon all of the known world at that time. And so the early church was able to store up grain, store up food, send money, whatever their ability was at that time to send relief to those in that place, in various places who were going to be without what they needed during that time. And so Agabus was a believer. Agabus was a believer like Joseph, who brought the word of God that would bring food in famine. Agabus brought the word of God which would bring food in famine, the word of God which would be able to provide. In the context of this, turn to Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Because we've seen now in history in the Old Testament, under Pharaoh, the time of Pharaoh, when this famine came upon all of the known world. And we've seen now in the New Testament, Agabus prophesied to the early church, and famine came. Now, in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, the context, and we're not going to go back and read all before it, the context is the end times. The context is the last days when there'll be signs in the heavens, as we see in Joel and in the book of Acts, prophesied that there will be signs in the heaven, and we see it displayed even more detailed in the book of Revelation. It's during that time. In verse 11, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land." Now we're talking about an end time worldwide famine. Not a famine of bread. Not a thirst for water. But of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. In this passage we see that there is not only a lack of availability, but there is a lack of hearing the word, even when it is available. Amos 8:11 speaks of this time, which, as I said, the context is the end times. And the Lord says, I'm sending a famine, not a natural famine, but I'm sending a spiritual famine. And we'll see why in just a moment. Why would the Lord's hand be in it? Why is the Lord saying, I'm sending a famine of hearing the Lord, hearing the words of the Lord? And I would say to you this morning, this famine has already begun. It began during my lifetime, began some years ago, along during the time that the Word of God and prayer were kicked out of the public schools, during the time that we were determining that God was not necessary as part of our legal system and part of our laws, during the time that pastors and churches began to come from seminaries that were teaching things that were either watered down or totally denying the truth of the Word of God. It's not that we have ever been perfect. It's not that we've ever been totally Christian. But our nation was founded upon Christian principles. And it was founded with people, many of whom made a covenant with God for this nation. God honored that covenant as long as His people honored the covenant. And we find that during the 50s, as a general time, I'm generalizing, but during the 50s, when I was just a kid, there was a time when the general consensus in America was a Christian consensus. Everyone, of course, was not a Christian. And there were plenty of people who were hypocrites. It wasn't that much different than many other times. But the laws still were based upon Christian script, upon scriptures from the Word of God. Many things that were considered truth had their bearing upon civil and social life in the United States. There were those in leadership who still honored the Word of God, but there was also a hypocrisy that was growing and was creeping in. There was a generation in the 50s where God had so blessed America that the parents in this nation were living in abundance, and they were able to buy houses and cars and all kinds of things for the first time. There were people who had found the American dream and had all that they could ever hope for. And they raised their children in the tradition of going to church. But many, many, many multitudes, you can study this. At home, there was no mention of God. There was no heartfelt religion in many of those homes. There was still a general consensus that the Word of God was true. There was still a general belief among the population in heaven, hell, and an honor towards Jesus Christ and even towards the church. And that soon began to slip, soon began to lose its hold during the upheaval of the 60s. During the 60s, many, many things were challenged. Many things were cast down, and I am so shortening and simplifying this. But during the 60s, many seminaries had already become corrupted and were pumping out pastors who went back to pastor churches, and they knew nothing of the truth of the Word of God. They had been taught all kinds of theories and theologies about the Word of God that denied such things as the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the virgin birth, the truth of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. And they came back denying those things and teaching a gospel that was void of absolute truth. A gospel that was void of salvation from sin. It became a social gospel. It became a do-good gospel. It became a treat-your-neighbor-right gospel. But it was a gospel that was void of power, void of the transformed lives that had been seen throughout history. And again, not all, but many places. In many places, this was happening, and it slowly spread until we find today that it is so difficult to find a denomination in which at least the leadership, the hierarchy, has not been basically swallowed up in all of these things. There has been a stampeding over the Word of God, a leaving behind of the truths of the Word of God. And as a result, a famine began to grow and began to come upon the land. It was even further exacerbated by mixture being brought into the churches, the mixing of New Age teachings and the pagan rituals and foreign gods and false religions being applauded and being mixed in with the worship of God. The abundance of the Word of God had now slidden and lost its hold among the people. And people began to turn to other sources. The more mixture there was in the churches, the less power. And so the young generations that were coming up saw nothing of substance, and they began to turn away from what they called organized religion. It became a lifeless thing. Pastors in the pulpit who preached a lifeless gospel, a lifeless Word of God. And people fill their lives with abundance. Abundance. Three things in particular, one leading to the other. Technology. Technology began to advance just at the speed of light during our lifetime. As technology advanced, it made possible the dispersion of all kinds of entertainment, providing people with entertainment and all kinds of information, availability to knowledge that they had never had before. It's during this time that many began to realize that in the Word of God and in our own social fabric of our nation, we saw what I've preached in the past years about the two streams of Christianity. One is the true remnant of God who loves the Word of God and will deny self and will repent of sins and will allow God to require things in order to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But then there was another stream, just side by side and parallel, often very difficult to discern for many Christians between these two, because the other one was a counterfeit. In name, it was called Christian, and it had many of the elements of Christianity, but we find that it also denied many truths of the Word of God. As I said, you find these two streams running side by side. We found in the last 20, 30 years, sort of came to a head, because we had the one stream of pure Christianity, but then that other stream ran a whole spectrum, all the way from literal churches that denied the Word of God, all the way to ultra-charismatic churches that claimed the Word of God, but we found people were running from here to there after an anointing that was based entirely upon emotions and feelings, but they were still ignoring the truth of the Word of God that required repentance. Repentance was being dropped from the vocabulary of the church. And so we see that these two streams running until in our time, those two streams are beginning to part ways because God is bringing about an obvious division where it's visible. You can see, you can tell this is obviously not Christianity and this obviously is Christianity, where there's a love for the Word of God and there are hearts that can be broken before the throne of God, where there can be repentance. And there is an expectation of the transformation that only Jesus Christ can bring. Technology paved the way and made a vehicle come forth for all of this entertainment and all of the information to be disseminated and so available to everyone. And with entertainment and information came a whole new stream of thoughts, beliefs, and philosophies. And people began to buy into Eastern religion and into things that they never would have considered before when it was popularized through the media, popularized through entertainment. When this happens, people crave more and more of these things, for they are addictive because they feed the flesh. They are addictive and people will crave all of these things that promise some kind of feeling or some kind of success in this life, but it brings less and less hunger for the Word of God.
That's right.
The more that a believer allows mixture into their life and receives these false things and allows it to come in and mix and corrupt in their heart with the things they have known of the Lord, they will reject more and more of the things of God, more of the truths of the Word of God, until they're completely given over to those things. So we have all of these philosophies and thoughts, beliefs. So even when the Word of God is available, you see, it's still a time in our nation. Bible is still the number one bestseller in all the world. You can have a multitude of Bibles in your house, call yourself a Christian, and say that I don't have anything to do with, quote, organized religion. I don't want anything to do with the organized church. In fact, I call myself spiritual. And that is the kind of thing that you hear nowadays. Spirituality without a cross. Spirituality without Christ who sits in authority upon a throne. Spirituality that doesn't demand anything of you, but only strokes your feelings and your emotions. And so people lose their hunger for the Word of God. And it can be available. It can be sitting on the table like a dinner, like a banquet that is set before them. And they have no appetite for it. For they have filled their taste buds with an appetite for other things rather than the Word of God. And they find that with all of the availability, there is a famine of hearing the Word of God. You would think that when people or in that position, they would recognize their hunger. You would think that you and I, you would think that when you're further from God than you once were, and you no longer hunger for His Word, you would think that you recognize that, and it would immediately drive you to your knees so that you would repent and you would come hungering the Word of God. But it's not the way it generally works, because We find that when we lose that hunger many times, and this is the sin, this is the flesh nature, people are relieved. But they've allowed other things to corrupt their hearts. Listen closely. Those of you who are in the sound of my voice today, when your love for the Word of God begins slipping and you begin to be kind of relieved, I don't have to listen to the preacher preach a convicting word. I don't have to have conviction. I don't want to hear those things that require something of me. It's easier just to go along the way I'm going along. There is, without consciously saying it, there is a relief. Because people are harboring sin in their hearts and they don't want to be touched in those depths where they would have to surrender afresh to the hand of God. Some would ask, why is God sending this famine? The Word of God says that judgment begins in the house of God. Judgment begins in the house of God. And if the famine has affected His children, which is the house of God, then God is going to reveal those who hunger for His Word, those who do not. He's always calling the ones who do not to repentance, to come back. But He's allowing a division to take place because He's going to separate and He's going to bring forth a company of believers. He's going to bring forth a people who are filled with grain for a time of trouble. There's a time of trouble coming. There's a time of lack of the Word of God. There is a time coming when every Bible, I believe, will be confiscated. That they will destroy and burn millions of them in public view. Under the things that we see concerning the Antichrist and those things that are to come, when there is worldwide persecution against the church,
yes,
the Bible will be outlawed. The Word of God will be contraband. And if you have it, you will have it in secret. It will be hidden. And there will be those who will risk their lives to have that Word of God, if it means hiding it somewhere in their home. But more importantly, they will have been feeding on it, studying it all of their lives, and they will be filled with it so that if every physical Bible they own is taken away, they still have the Word of God richly living within them. In order that when they need direction in that time of trouble, the Holy Spirit can bring up the Word that has been stored in their heart and can make it come alive and be illuminated in their mind that they might know this is direction from the Lord. So there's a judgment that begins in the house of God to reveal those who hunger for His Word and to separate the remnant of true believers while He deals with sin. Remember, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." There must be a hunger and a thirst, not for knowledge. There must be a hunger and a thirst, not for just experiences and goosebumps. There must be a hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is righteousness? It means being right with God. It means that you don't just, it's not that you just want to have a Bible. And it's not just that you want to check off that you read a chapter every day. It's that whether you read it or in a time that it's just stored in your heart, it's that you want to be right with God and you want to be obedient to everything that He shows you in His Word. That is righteousness. Our righteousness falls short. And so we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is imputed to us so that when the Father looks at us, He sees not our sin, but the righteousness of His Son. But it does not mean that His Word is done away with. It does not mean that we're not to long to be more like Jesus. It doesn't mean that we're to ignore the Word of God and its demands upon our life and its call to obedience. Those who love the Word of God and hunger and thirst after righteousness, those are the ones, it says, who are blessed by the Lord, and they shall be filled, the Word of God says. How about feeding on that Word of God? Remember, His Word is established. His Word is established. It is established forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words abide forever. No matter how we live in this life, and no matter what we think of the necessity or lack of necessity of the Word of God, we will not ever escape His Word in eternity. We will come to that time when we stand before Him and His Word will judge us, the Bible says. Remember that during this time, He is still a God of restoration. He's still a God of restoration. If you're in famine today, if you're listening to me by the live stream and you're in famine today, there's a famine in your life of the living Word of God. If you're starving on junk food, you know, when you eat a lot of junk food, you lose your taste for healthy food. I know. If you eat a lot of junk food, you lose your taste for healthy food. And then when you come back to the healthy food, it's not what you want at first, is it? But if you starve yourself of the junk food and eat the good food, your taste will return.
Amen.
And you'll be filled. You'll have what you need. The only way to come back to the Word of God is to see it as necessary for your life and starve yourself of all the other influences and things that are taking your heart and your mind away from Christ. Leave aside whatever things you have been reading. Leave aside whatever things, perhaps the news, if it distracts you. Leave aside whatever pulls at your heart. Leave aside relationships that pull you away from the Lord. Leave aside temptations. Leave aside entertainment. Leave aside whatever it is that's been filling your heart. And fill yourself with the Word of God. Starve yourself of those other things. And come back to the living Word of God. And He will feed you what you need today. And He will store it up within you for what you're going to need during the time that's coming. This famine has already begun, but it's going to increase in intensity. People are hungry. People are hungry right now. People who have lost their taste for the Word of God and those who have never fed on the Word of God. They are hungry. They are so hungry. I heard someone talking about this the other day. People are hungry. They've denied. They've rejected Christ. They've rejected other things. But they're hungry. Therefore, if you're hungry and you reject Christ, you'll fill yourself with false religion. You'll fill yourself with things that are deceptive and will lead you straight to hell.
That's right.
You know, I'm not even going to get onto it this morning, but you know, the next big thing, it started a long time ago, but it's going to get big. It's UFOlogy. From the top of our government down, you're going to have people preparing themselves for the big evacuation that's coming.
That's right.
So that when the Lord comes for His people, they will think that they were evacuated by aliens.
That's right.
And people are going to buy it. They'll say they can't believe in demons. They can't believe in the things in this Word of God. That's too far-fetched to believe. But they'll believe that aliens are coming to take us away.
Yeah.
And we laugh and we think, how can people? But it's growing. It's happening even now.
That's right.
People today don't even know. They don't even know what the food is that they need. They're so saturated with spiritual junk food and with outright lies.
Yes.
They're hungry and they're growing in hunger, but they don't know what they need. At least in a natural famine, you know what you need. You know that you need bread. You know, more than anything else, you will crawl somewhere to try to get a morsel of bread. You will dive in dumpsters if you have been without food long enough. in order to scrabble for bread to fill your belly. They know they have need. Just like in the time of Joseph, they came to Joseph. And he opened the granaries. He gave them grain. Such a beautiful, beautiful picture. But they don't know. It's like the prodigal son. The prodigal son asked the father for his inheritance early and said, I want to get away from here. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I've preached this before. You know, everybody talks about different things about what he was wanting and what he was after. Let me tell you what he was after. He was wanting to get away from the authority of his father's house.
Yes.
People despise authority, righteous authority. He wanted to get away from being under his father's control and do what he wanted to do. And he wanted the money that would come from his father, he wanted to take it and use it for his own needs, his own pleasures, or whatever he wanted to spend it on. And where did it lead him? It led him to a place of poverty and hunger. He was in such hunger that it's hunger that it says he would gladly have eaten the husks, the pods, that the swine ate. And that's what this world leads people to.
That's right.
Promises them a beautiful fountain and a pool of water, but leads them to a pig pen.
Yes.
With husks that have no nutrition in them whatsoever. Far away from hearing his father. Far away from the authority of his father's house. Hungry in a pig pen. That is the picture of believers. That's the picture of every believer who says, I'm tired of being under God's thumb. I'm tired of being under the authority of the Word of God. I'm tired of hearing messages that make me uncomfortable or cause me to be convicted. And so I'm going to go out and I'm going to do my own thing. It leads ultimately to devastating hunger. And these people are so hungry, they don't know what they need. They don't even know anymore what they need. And so they feed on the husks of the occult. They feed on the husks of alien beliefs. They feed on the husks of many false religions. Anything that's novel, that will grab their excitement and their attention, that seems more exciting than Jesus and the great gift of salvation that he offers. Beloved, the more that we feed on worldly things, the less we will desire the Word of God. If you don't remember anything else this morning and you're a believer and you're somewhere in between, you still love the Word, you still love the Lord, and you're still in the house of God, you've not left, you've not forsaken, but you don't have a desire for the things of God. You don't have a hunger for spiritual reality, a hunger for the Word of God. You are in such a dangerous place. Such a dangerous place. Because the more that you are in that place, the less you will hunger for the Word of God. And it is our life.
Amen.
It is the living Word of God for a reason.
Amen.
It is our life. Jesus, you can't separate these two things. Jesus is called the living Word of God. And this is the record. But it is not an ordinary book. It is the living Word of God.
Amen.
Every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father is given to us for life.
Yes. Amen.
Man shall not live by natural bread alone. You may be feeding, you may be filling your life with natural bread and all the things that the world offers. You may be starving on the inside for the Word, the only thing that can fill you up and make you whole. It's coming a time of tribulation. It's coming a time that we would all desire to never see, to never be able to even look upon it. You are the recipients of salvation. You are the possessors of the living Word of God. You are the Josephs that God's calling forth in this hour. Where you store up grain. We talk about hoarding and making prep. This is the prep that you need.
Amen.
The natural things that you do to prepare for that time is between you and the Holy Spirit. But be certain that you don't neglect this.
Amen.
To be filled with grain. Your neighbors may be beating on your door one day and you think, I've got a garage full of groceries, I'm here for you. But if you don't have this grain for them, you've not done one thing for them. Not one thing. It will be a time of great desperation. And some will recognize their need for the Word of God. And it's described here as they'll just run to and fro. They'll be looking for someone who can tell them the truth. I think about our young people and people that are older. But I think about how many today, if you ask them to tell you something about Moses' life, they might even get it mixed up with Noah and they'll tell you he built an ark. Or you ask them some detail about one of the prophets, just one thing. Tell me one thing about Jeremiah. Or tell me one thing about Enoch. And people who have been in church for years will look at you with a blank look and guess at something. You know, we've been through a whole change in our Christian culture. We once had Sunday schools. And people went to Sunday school and they learned the Word of God from the time they were in kindergarten age all the way up, even adults attending classes before the regular church service or after. And then with the move of the Holy Spirit that happened some years back, it seemed more important to have the presence of the Holy Spirit and to move at the direction of the Holy Spirit. And things were dropped and left as though those were dead things. As though those were things that were just being done by rote and didn't matter. And I think back upon those times and I think how as a child I learned the details about these people's lives.
Amen.
And it's not just learning by rote and it's not just details. It affected my heart.
Yes.
It moved me when I saw Moses before that burning bush giving himself in obedience to the Lord as the Lord called him to go back to Egypt and deliver his people. It moved me when God spoke on the mountaintop. It moved me when I saw the disciples just drop their nets and everything and follow Jesus and realize he's different. It moved me when I finally came to the revelation and the understanding that the Creator of the universe came, walked, wrapped in human flesh, and gave himself for us on the cross. No greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his brothers. We need the Word of God inside of us, not just between the covers of this book. We need the Word of God to be grain for ourselves and for other people. It's not a long message. I'm not going to stretch this out. I'm just asking, are you prepared? Are you prepared for famine? Are you prepared for when your family enters into a time of famine? Are you prepared for when this nation enters into a time of famine? Are you prepared when your neighbors knock on your door because they're desperate? Life is falling apart all around them and they don't know what to do. Do you have the calm anchor of the Word of God within your heart that you'll be able to stand with confidence and say, come in, I have something for you. I have bread in abundance. What is the state of your granary? Filled with grain or lacking? I believe it's a word absolutely from the Lord. Store up grain. prepare yourself. Prepare yourself in the way that you need to be prepared. Turn to Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. This used to puzzle me. I'm like, well, why does he use the term buy? It's free. Why does he say buy this food? It's obviously spiritual food. Why does he say buy this food but without money? Beloved, it's free, but it will cost you. And it requires something. The currency of the kingdom of God, and this is not some far out word of faith teaching, the currency of the kingdom of God is faith. Faith buys everything you need. It is by faith that we apprehend everything that we receive from the Lord. Only faith pleases Him. Why do you spend money? And this is the question for you this morning. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? What a question for American Christians. Let your soul, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me here. And your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David, which speaks of the new covenant in Christ and the forgiveness and grace that he brings. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and does not satisfy? Eat what is good. Eat what is good and live. Father, I thank you, Lord, you don't leave us without your word. It is precious to us. It is seed that is sown in our hearts. Pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, that we wouldn't be able to just escape this word by putting it out of our thoughts. But, Lord, it would be there speaking in our ear all the time. Eat what is good and live. Help us, Lord, to continually grow in your word. Help us to depend upon your word. Help us to feed upon your word by listening and hearing what you have to say to us that we might walk in righteousness. Prepare us, Lord, that we might be like Joseph. We might be like Agabus. We might have grain in the time that's coming. Just during this moment, let each one just be examined by the Holy Spirit as to where you are in your heart with this and yield whatever the Lord is asking you to yield.